Hi, this is Buddy, KB5ELV, and today I'm here to review and talk about the Redivis RT8 DMR and FM transceiver. This is a handheld radio, and it's you can get it in either VHF or UHF models, so it covers either 136 to 174 megahertz or 400 to 480 megahertz. I think most people are probably going to get the UHF one, which covers the 400 to 470. One advantage that the UHF model has over the VHF one is that it will hold more contacts, or it actually has more memory built in, so that it can hold the entire Brandmeister database that can be downloaded to it with the MD380 tools. The VHF model doesn't have that much, and anyway, I think most DMR activity on the amateur bands is on UHF. I have here the UHF model of the RT8, which was provided by Redivis for me to review. Thank you, Redivis. They had a contest in October where they were giving away 8 different radios, 4 RT8s and 4 of another kind for review. And I proposed to do either a blog post or an MP3 or a video. I sort of voted against video just because, well, it's video and I'm not good camera material. And I wanted to get it right. I'd probably have things all focused on the wrong things and I wouldn't get good pictures. So I didn't do that. I was originally just going to write up a blog post, and I probably still will write up something. But Joe W0CAS, who does the blind, what does he call it? I've got the email somewhere. He calls it something, but he does a YouTube channel that records MP3s of MP3 reviews of different equipment and different helpful things for blind hams, and he asked me to do one. So I think Redivis may like that a little better than a written blog post. So that's what I'll do initially, and maybe we'll do the other as well. Of course, anyone can email me if they have any questions. Admittedly, I'm not a DMR expert. There are lots of people out there that know a whole lot more about it than I do. And chances are I would say contact them. But if you have questions that I can answer, I'm happy to do so. My email address is buddy@brannan.name. It's B-R-A-N-N-A-N. Or kb5elv@arrl.net. So let's dive into this thing. So the RT8, Redivis RT8 is basically, it's the TYT MD380, or I guess 390. Jury's a little bit out on that. I think it's the 390 because it's the sort of more water resistant version. So it's the 390. The RT8's the 390. The RT3 is the 380. Stock, they come with 1,000 channels, and I forget how many zones that you can have. I think it's 256, but it might not be. I can't remember. I haven't gotten anywhere close to programming that many. Each zone has 16 channels, and that's sort of enforced by the channel knob. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the RT8 is basically the MD390. And here it is in my hand. For all you folks at home, if you're sighted and you're expecting to see something in my hand, you will be disappointed. You get to be on an equal playing field with the rest of us. It's a little bit bigger, not a whole lot bigger. I've got, right here on my desk here, I have the Puxing PXUV973 analog radio. I also have a THD74A, but it's not on this desk. It's downstairs. The RT8 is about the same width and about, well, maybe a quarter of an inch or less thicker than the UV973, about an inch taller, and somewhat heavier. I would say that the weight is similar to the weight of the THD74, although it might be a little bit lighter, but it's also similar in size. It's a little bit more curvy on the back, so it's not quite as boxy as the 74. But it's just like, again, it's a similar size. In the box, you get, of course, the RT8 radio itself with a battery. You get one battery. I believe it's a 2,000 milliamp hour battery. It might be a 20. No, it's a 2. I'm fairly certain it's a 2,000. Might be a 2,800, but I'm fairly certain it's a 2,000 or 2,200 milliamp hour battery. And you get one. I haven't checked this. I've got an MD380. I believe they may use the same batteries, but if they don't, it would be the same as the 390. And it's MP3 reviews of different equipment and different helpful things for blind hams, and he asked me to do one. So I think Redivis may like that a little better than a written blog post. So that's what I'll do initially, and maybe we'll do the other as well. Of course, anyone can email me if they have any questions. Admittedly, I'm not a DMR expert. There are lots of people out there that know a whole lot more about it than I do. And chances are I would say contact them. But if you have questions that I can answer, I'm happy to do so. My email address is buddy@brannan.name. It's B-R-A-N-N-A-N. Or kb5elv@arrl.net. So let's dive into this thing. So the RT8, Redivis RT8 is basically, it's the TYT MD380, or I guess 390. Jury's a little bit out on that. I think it's the 390, because it's the sort of more water-resistant version, so it's the 390. The RT8's the 390, the RT3 is the 380. Stock, they come with 1,000 channels, and I forget how many zones that you can have. I think it's 256, but it might not be. I can't remember. I haven't gotten anywhere close to programming that many. Each zone has 16 channels, and that's sort of enforced by the channel knob. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the RT8 is basically the MD390. And here it is in my hand. For all you folks at home, if you're sighted and you're expecting to see something in my hand, you will be disappointed. You get to be on an equal playing field with the rest of us. It's a little bit bigger, not a whole lot bigger. I've got, right here on my desk here, I have the Puxing PXUV973 analog radio. I also have a THD74A, but it's not on this desk. It's downstairs. The RT8 is about the same width and about, Well, maybe a quarter of an inch or less thicker than the UV973. About an inch taller. And somewhat heavier. I would say that the weight is similar to the weight of the THD74, although it might be a little bit lighter, but it's also similar in size. It's a little bit more curvy on the back, so it's not quite as boxy as the 74. But it's just like, again, it's a similar size. In the box, you get, of course, the RT8 radio itself with a battery. You get one battery. I believe it's a 2000 milliamp hour battery. It might be a 20. No, it's a 2. I'm fairly certain it's a 2000. Might be a 2800, but I'm fairly certain it's a 2000 or 2200 milliamp hour battery. And you get one. I haven't checked this. I've got an MD380. I believe they may use the same batteries, but if they don't, it would be the same as the 390, and it's those batteries are cheap compared to say the Kenwood batteries. You know, you're looking at like $20 a battery as opposed to 60 or 70 or even 40 if you get one of the aftermarket batteries for the THD74. So batteries are cheaper. So you get a radio, you get a battery, you get a drop-in charger, which consists of the actual charger body that the radio slides into, and a power adapter appropriate for your country. I got a US one because I'm in the US. One thing I want to note here is that the radio definitely has a very positive, very tight fit into the charger. You're not going to have any wobble. It's going to be very definite when you slide that in and it's charging. Very, very definite, very solid feel in, when you stick it in the charger. You also get two antennas, one short one that's maybe, you know, 4 or 5 inches tall, something like what you would expect to get on most handhelds, and then a very long one. Something more like 12, 14, 15 inches, you know, like the extended rubber duckies that you can buy from Comet or Diamond or one of those kind of places. And you get both. My suspicion is that these are dual band antennas. These look very like the antennas that came with the TYT. TH8000D that I got last year, and that's the dual band radio. And these look a lot like that. My suspicion is they're dual band. And putting the extended one on my THD74 and going to 2 meters and accessing a couple of repeaters there sort of bears that out. Okay, so you got the battery, you got the charger, you got two antennas. Which is kind of neat that they include both. You get a programming cable, or I got a programming cable. The website says that they include that as a free gift. So I don't know whether that comes standard or not. I suspect it does. If it doesn't, excuse me. If it doesn't, programming cables are also not very expensive. I don't think this is a serial to USB cable. I don't think it's a serial conversion. I don't think it's got like an FTDI or prolific serial chip in it. I don't know what it has in it because it's a little bit bigger than just a standard USB connector on the USB end. So I'm not sure what it is, but I don't think. I don't think it's a serial cable because when I look in my device manager, when I plug it in Windows, nothing gets recognized until, first of all, until the radio turns on, and second of all, when you turn the radio on and it gets recognized. It's not recognized as a serial port, it's recognized as something else. And can't remember what that is at the moment. If anyone's really interested, I can find out. I doubt anyone's really interested. Besides that, there's one other thing that you get in. Oh, of course, you get a box and you get, or a manual and a warranty thing. But I also found one other surprise, which unfortunately I haven't gotten around to testing yet, but I'm sort of looking forward to trying it. And that is that it came with a headset, single ear, earbud type headset that's got a hook that hooks over your ear and sticks in your ear and plugs into the radio. And it's got a remote inline push to talk button that you can clip to your shirt collar or your pocket or what have you. Push to talk button on it feels pretty solid. It actually feels like a fairly high quality earbud headphone, certainly of higher quality than I got with my Bofang UV5R, which also came with a similar thing, but definitely not quite as heavy duty as this thing was. But yeah, I'm looking forward to trying that, but I haven't done it yet. So that's what you get in the box. Oh, and a belt clip. I forgot about the belt clip. Now, the belt clip deserves some mention. I had to get some help putting that on. Angie helped me put the belt clip on. Putting the belt clip on is not at all straightforward. Good news is that it's got a... it's got a plate on the back of it, and you have two little tiny Phillips head screws that go into it. So it looks like it's a sturdy belt clip, and it's a long belt clip. So if you wear a wider belt, I think you're probably not going to have trouble with your radio coming off your belt. Also, it attaches to the back of the radio, not to the back of the battery, which is nice. That's a good thing. The bad thing is that to get to the screws, they're not on the sides of the belt clip, they're sort of on the back, and they're accessed through very small holes that are in the belt clip. So I think what the idea is, you know, what would have been awesome is if they had actually included a screwdriver that was the right size, but they didn't. So the idea is that you put the belt clip on with the battery not installed. Like you don't put the battery in. And then the plate lines up with the back of the radio. And then you take your screwdriver, stick it through the little hole in the back of the belt clip, tighten the one screw, stick it in the other hole on the other side, and tighten the other screw. These are very small holes. Unless you have very small screwdrivers, your screwdriver may not fit. And that's the problem that we ran into and gave us some small amount of trouble. So putting the belt clip on is not trivial. Other than that, putting this radio together wasn't too bad. There's definitely a trick to the battery, because the latch is in sort of two parts. Putting the battery on is easy. It just slides up the back of the radio until it sort of all lines up, and then you push it down, like squeeze the battery and the radio together, and then there's a latch at the bottom of the radio that swings forward and locks onto the battery. Getting the battery off is another thing, because it's not as straightforward exactly as lifting up one latch and then pulling, or pushing up two latches on the sides and pulling down or what have you, like on the like the battery on the Kenwood or the battery on the Osheng UVD1P, which has, or the Pusheng 973 for that matter, which has battery latches on either side. The battery on this, the latch on this, is at the bottom of the battery. The battery has a contact on either side, and then the latch takes up pretty much the entire middle of the battery. And what you have to do is pull up with your thumb on the battery, on the latch that's on the back of the battery. And what happens then is that the latch on the radio springs open and swings down. And then you can pull the battery out. You pull it up, which pulls the belt clip open a little bit, and then you just pull the battery out from the bottom. I mean, it's easy once you know how, but it took me a minute to figure out the mechanism. I suspect all of this is to help with water tightness, which brings me to the other part of setting up the radio, which is the speaker mic connection, which is also the programming cable connection. Most of these radios have a rubber cover that you can just sort of open with a thumbnail, pull it down, plug your thing in, there you go. Not so with this one. It does have a cover over the speaker microphone connectors, but it's a screw-on cover. So there's a screw at the bottom of the cover, which Kenwood has something similar. They have a screw. No, it's not Kenwood. It's the 973 that has something similar. It has a screw at the bottom of it, but with the Pushing, there's no need to remove the cover by taking the screw out. It's just there to hold in the cover, but you can open it and pull it down. Now with this, with the RT8, you have to actually unscrew the screw at the bottom of the cover, which you can do with your fingers, especially after you've done it the first time. It does have a flathead screw slot in it, so you could use a screwdriver, but you unscrew it, and then you pull it up from the bottom. You can't pull it up from the top because there's a little tongue in the top of it that goes into a slot to allow you to fully close the cover. So you unscrew the screw, and then you have to sort of pull up. There's a little trick to it, but you pull up from the bottom of the cover once you have the screw loose, and that whole cover comes out. So obviously you don't want to lose that, because if you lose it, then you lose your water tightness, and you've got an open connector just sitting there open. When you're done with it, put the top of the cover in first, then the bottom, then screw it down. And then the antenna, you can use either one. They're both fine. The short one obviously has less gain. The short one is the one that I'm using now, because all I access with it is my hotspot. But the antenna has an SMA female, no, sorry. The antenna has an SMA male connector on it, very like what is the amateur standard. Unlike the older Osheng, like the UVD-1P, and the Pushing 973, and the Baofeng UV-5R, and its cousins, which have USB female on the antenna and SMA female on the antenna and SMA male on the radio, which apparently is like the business band standard. This radio uses amateur standard, which is SMA female on the radio, SMA male on the antenna. So that means that you can use any of your SMA amateur antennas, like your Comet or your Diamond SRH, what is it, SRH320 or whatever that thing is, the extended one, on it if you want. The ones that it comes with, though, are pretty good. So you can use those. They're just standard SMA male on the antenna. Not to be confused with reverse polarity SMA, because reverse polarity SMA is something else again entirely, and we won't talk about that. All right, so now we've got a radio with a battery, a belt clip, and an antenna on it, and we know how to get to the programming. I already had a code plug from a previous radio, so that made my life a little bit easier, but we'll talk about programming here in a minute. But first, here, let's do a physical description of this radio. Like I said, it's a little bit taller than, say, the Pushing UV973. I would measure it against my Baofeng UV5R, but my Baofeng is in a box, and I don't have it handy. But it's similar in size to the THD74, perhaps not quite as thick, and perhaps not quite as heavy. On the top of the radio, from left to right, there's the antenna connector, which has an antenna on it. The channel selector knob, which really, yes, it's only a channel selector knob, and the on-off volume control. The right side of the radio only has the speaker mic connector on it, which also is used to program. The left side has a programmable button, push-to-talk button, and then another programmable button on it. The front of the radio has a speaker and microphone at the top, a fairly large display, which is, again, probably about the size of the display of the Kenwood 74, maybe a little smaller, but certainly bigger than any analog radio. Probably takes up a good third of the radio. The bottom third of it, you know what? It's about the same size as the keypad. Keypad is a standard 16 button DTMF pad, although the display or the configuration is of the more modern, quote unquote modern type that Osheng has used, and that Baofeng has on the UV5R. That is to say, A B C D across the top, 1 2 3 star 4 5 6 0 7 8 9 pound. There is no dot on the 5 key. By the way, TYT slash Redivis, I would say one thing that you could do to easily make the radio more accessible without inconveniencing anybody would be to put a dot, a prominent tactile dot on the 5 key. That would be super, super, super awesome. This radio doesn't have that. Neither does my 973, but there you go. It doesn't have that. But if you remember the keypad layout, you're fine. So I want to talk a little bit now about programming, because programming is actually what makes the radio do what it does. You can, sure, you can do a lot of that from the front panel, especially with MD380 tools installed. But it's a lot easier with the programming software. Not to mention that without the MD380 tools, you'd sort of have to program channels. So for a blind operator, it appears you need a couple of things, all of which are free. My favorite four-letter word, free. The first thing is the programming software. Now, the programming software comes, oh yes, I forgot to mention. This fell over. I forgot to mention that you also get one of these little miniature CDs in the box, and the miniature little CD has all of the TYT software on it for pretty much all of their radios. So, you know, you put that in, the MD390 folder has the MD390 software and the USB cable driver is on there somewhere, although I went ahead and downloaded it off the internet. But it's there. To get at some of the software, you may need to download 7-Zip or something similar because they use the somewhat less common .rar, R-A-R, file compression to archive their installers, some of their installers. So you might need to get 7-Zip or something similar to open those. So you need a couple of things. You need the programming. You need the USB driver, which is a pretty straightforward install once you find it. So you install that, and then you plug the radio in and turn it on, and Windows will recognize it. You need the MD390 programmer, which is on there. And with those two things, you can make a code plug. However, making code plugs is a little bit easier with a third-party programmer. The one that I got recommended by Patrick, KE4DYI, is called the N0GSG Contact Manager. And indeed, it's fairly screen reader friendly. You will need to use your NVDA cursor, your JAWS cursor, your mouse manipulator of some sort to get to some controls. But they're easy to find and they're easy to manipulate. You can get that at n0gsg.com. So essentially what you're going to do to program this is first you'll install the driver and then to make a code plug, you're going to read your radio. You're going to open the MD390 programmer. You're going to read the radio. So you'll plug the... Let's just go over here. You're going to plug the radio in into your computer with the programming cable. Which I should have done before I started this, but this was sort of a spur of the moment sort of thing. So as I said, I have to unscrew the cover to get to the connector. There we go. By the way, the connector goes in with the cable pointing up. So, turn the radio on, and there we go. Windows has recognized it. Open the MD390 programmer after you've installed it. And in the program menu, you're going to do read data, or you'll press Control R.
Read data from radio dialog. OK button.
We'll press the OK button to confirm. Here we go, it's reading.
Dropped in dialog, read data, sir. OK button. CPS.
Okay, so they're Chinese and they just typed in read radio suck. Now that doesn't mean that the reading of the radio was bad. It just means that it was successful. So they cut off successful and they just made it suck. Now you can program several things here. Matter of fact, I'm going to close that because I already got a code plug. So I'm going to close this. No, I don't want to
CPS MD390 default 1 basic information dialog last program date. CPS VM go button case press desktop.
And I'm going to go back in. I'm going to actually read my code plug here.
Read data from radio dialog. CPS MD.
So I'm going to do Control O for open.
Open dialog. Dropbox.cache date modify.
And I'm going to open my and actually, when you open your radio, you'll see a few things. You'll see the last program date. You'll see the model name. You'll see the serial number of the radio. You know what? I'm going to actually reread that. No, anyway, you'll see the serial number. You'll see the CPS software version, the hardware version, the MCU version, which is the with basically the firmware. You'll see the unique device ID, which is, I guess, something like a serial number. You'll see the frequency range, which you can change. I don't recommend you do that, because then things will break. And there you go. So, you can change several things here. So, like if you go, if you go to the edit menu, you can program several different categories.
Level 1 basic information. Case. General setting to on 30 level.
And I can't remember how to get to this dialogue. But there are categories here. Oh, I remember general. Now. You have to
left click basic information. I want last program and frequency range.
You have to sort of click
basic information general setting. CPS MD 390 button general setting. General setting.
You have to route your mouse to the setting you want and click it.
Left click.
No, that's not how you do it either. Just kidding.
Menu item 3 on 30,
I thought I knew what I was doing. You just thought I knew what I was doing, didn't you?
Menu item. Menu item. Level CPS MD 309. CPS. CPS MD 300 MD. No left. No left. No preview MD. Bottom CPS MD level 1. Menu item 3 on 30 level taste. Basic information. I want frequency range. Common unique. General setting. I want title all left. Basic information.
Oh, here we go. It is Control F6.
Frequency rate, unique, general setting, dialog, time, monitor, time, cover, box, time, all left.
So if you do a control, if you open a category and then control F6, you can eventually get to these different settings. Some of these are a lot easier to change with MD380 tools from the keypad. For example, changing the function of the side buttons is a lot easier to change from the keypad once you can actually scroll through that and change those. But a lot of this stuff you'll want to, you know, just sort of set up once and then program into your code plug.
On the same preamble checkbox, same mode, missing CH3 indication tone checkbox checked. Disable all CH3 indication tone checkbox checked. Talk permit tone combo box non collapsed. Radio at the edit selected 3,100,000.
Oh yes, and one of the things that you'll want to set up is your radio ID, which you'd get from Brandmeister or
DF3 have you. Duration MS group call. DM rated talk permit tone combo box non collapsed. CH3 indication. Disable all tone checkbox. CH3 indication tone checkbox checked. Same mode receive checkbox checked. Same preamble checkbox checked. Monitor type combo box opened. Lounge collapsed. Same preamble monitor type silent. Opened. Same preamble checkbox checked.
So there are a few settings that you'll want to set up in this software before you start messing with actual putting in channels. Putting in channels on this software is not terribly easy. Actually, some of this looks like you could do. But it's a whole lot easier to do.
Analog, digital slash analog data grouping,
A lot of this is a lot easier to do with the N0GSD software. So once you actually have a code plug, even if it doesn't have any channels or zones in it, you just save it with Control S, give it a name, and then open it again in the N0GSG contact software. Now there's a question I have. What the heck is Lone Worker? I've seen Lone Worker a couple of different places, and I have no idea what that means. I wonder if someone can tell me. Anyway, so you'd open the N0GSG contact software, which you can get from N0GSG.com. And it's a standalone program. You don't have to install it anywhere or anything like that. You just have to open it, and it'll run. A lot of it is in the tab order. However, to get to putting in a zone, you have to find the zone heading using the screen review mode of your screen reader of NVDA. It's screen review mode. I think that in JAWS it's the JAWS cursor, but you'd have to find the heading you want to edit. For example, the zone list. Route your mouse cursor there, and click it, or do a select. Make sure it's selected, and then you can. When you get your list, you can then route your mouse cursor to your list. Do a physical right mouse click. Not the context key, that doesn't work. You have to use the actual right mouse button or the screen reader key combination for a right mouse click. And from there you can add a channel or edit a channel or a zone or what have you. Doing it that way is fairly straightforward. So you'd add your channels, and then you'd put your however many channels up to 16 in a zone. You can create multiple zones, and then just add a new zone, put channels in, and you can put one channel into multiple zones if you want. And a channel isn't just a frequency with it's a frequency along with a talk group, or something like that. By the way, I got lucky, and my particular MD380 is one with the older firmware in it. That means that I didn't have to go into test mode and modify things for my analog mode to work properly, and for digital to work properly either. Understand that if you've got the V5 codec and the version 14 or later firmware on your radio, you may need to go in and make some changes. That's a little bit outside the scope of this. I didn't really have to do that with mine, so I got pretty lucky there. As far as getting MD380 tools, there used to be KG5 RKI used to have a pre-compiled version for Windows that you could just download and install in the normal way with the firmware uploader, the regular MD390 firmware uploader. Apparently that's gone, so I don't know where that lives these days. I had to build my own firmware, and one interesting little thing is that I wasn't sure if this was the GPS or non-GPS model. So some instructions suggested that in order to use the RT8, you needed the MD390 firmware, which is the S version, which is the GPS version. That didn't appear to be the case for me. My radio wanted the D version, which was non-GPS, and it worked with that, did not work with the other. I mean, like, when I turned it on with the S version in it, it powered up and then just pretty much proceeded to do a whole lot of nothing. Good news about that is you can always just reflash it with the correct one if you get it wrong, and no harm, no foul. So I built mine on the Raspberry Pi and uploaded it, and if anybody needs it, I'm sure I can get a compiled firmware for you, and then you can just install it with the regular firmware uploader. Essentially, what you do with that is put the radio into firmware upload mode by holding the top programmable side key with the push to talk while you turn it on. Keep that down for about 2 seconds. And then when you let go, it's in programming mode, and you can upload the firmware. As I mentioned, this was going to be on a... This was sort of with an emphasis on use by blind people. I expect a blind person could use the standard RT8 or TYT firmware that's installed in the radio, but you'd have to do some stuff. For example, setting up a zone with nothing in it so that the radio would just emit a loud continuous beep on every channel, and have that just as sort of a marker so you could tell what zone you were in and then count up or down from there. The reason that the MD380 tools is nice is that it will output most, though not all, data. Certainly all the menu settings, the zone number or the zone name, the talk group name, channel number, and so forth, all in Morse code. I have mine set at 40 words a minute. There we go. See? There's my analog... All-Star Link node. So that's channel 12 unprogrammed, but if I go this way, I'm at the blind hams group. I have one of my programmable side buttons set to set off the Morse code narrator, which gives a fairly verbose listing of the channel. Which says blind hams, zone, zoom spot, battery 7.4 volts. Anyway, so that's the main draw for me for the MD380 tools. It will let you use promiscuous mode, which allows you to listen to all the activity on a channel, whether in your talk group or not. Different things. You can also manually program in a temporary talk group with it very easily. Different things like that. You can do a little bit more programming from the front panel, which I like. There are some things I haven't figured out. For example, I haven't figured out where to increase the menu timeout so that for longer Morse messages... it actually gives me some time to listen to the whole thing and actually do something about it, as opposed to listening to the whole thing just in time for it to time out. So I haven't figured out a couple of things, but with the Morse readout, it makes the radio a whole bunch more usable. I'd love to see Redivis or TYT implement something like that into the stock firmware. Programmer could certainly be a little bit more screen reader friendly, but again, there are some extra tools that we can use, like the N0 GSG contact manager. By the way, it will not read back to the radio, so once you've made your changes to your code plug in the N0 GSG contact software, You would save your code plug and then go back to the MD390 programmer and upload or write to the radio after you've made your code plug changes. So you're gonna use essentially you're gonna use the programming software to program the radio, but the N0GSG software to do the lion's share of the work. So far as editing your code plug, which you shouldn't have to do terribly often, but there you go. That's a sort of bird's eye view of it. Chris NE5V has a nicely in-depth look at the MD380 tools, and there are a couple of other things on Joel's channel that I think will be very helpful for anybody that wants to do this. And I sure appreciate their help and guidance in this while I was getting this radio set up. Because it's been a little while since I set up the MD380 about a year and a half ago. Gosh, was it that long ago? I guess it was that long ago. No, it was longer ago than that. No, it was 2 years ago. It was 2.5 years ago. It was about 2017 when I first set that up. So it's been a while. Things have changed a little bit. We've got a few more options. But there's a nice active Blind Hams group on Talk Group 31. Let's see, what is it? 31679. 31679, twice a week net, and you'll find some other activity on there as well. So all in all, especially for the price, I would I'd give this one high marks, but with the sort of caution that you should definitely get the MD380 tools. If you can't compile that yourself or need help with it, absolutely ask around, get in touch with me, get in touch with somebody to help you get that put in, because the radio is going to be a whole lot more useful with that aftermarket firmware once you get it installed. But it's a nice, ruggedly built radio, very sturdy. I don't think you're going to be, I mean, it feels sturdy, it feels quality, it feels like something you could count on to stand up to some actual use. And for around $100, give or take, I think you'd be hard pressed to find one that that you'll like better. Some people really like the GB77S because it talks, and a talking interface is great. I'm not sure about the programming, and also the GB77S doesn't have a keypad. It's got like four keys, so there's no DTMF. By the way, that's another thing. This one will do analog, and it has a full DTMF keypad, so you can control your All-Star Link node or IRLP node or what have you with it, which is nice. Funny story, I was programming my All-Star Link node into it, but I misremembered the PL tone, so it wasn't working. I was getting nothing in and nothing out, and I thought I'd broken it. I thought that I had one of the problem child ones, something like that. No, it was just that I had the wrong CTCSS tone. Once I fixed that, it was fine. But it'll do analog, and it's got a full keypad. Programming in the channels, though, is pretty much an essential. Because I think I don't think you can program the channels from the keypad. At least I haven't been able to directly enter a frequency in the program radio section when you get to edit your channel. It seems like you can only adjust the channel with the up and down arrows. At least I haven't figured out what the trick is to actually entering it numerically. So I'd love some feedback on that from anybody, if anyone's been able to do that. Otherwise, and I say, once it's all programmed and everything, it's fantastic. And you get some Morse training to go with it. Somebody tells me that the UV380, the dual band version of this radio, the UV380, which I forget, I think it's the RT88 or 82 from Redivis, actually speaks channel numbers and zone numbers. And if that's true, that's fantastic. So that just means another option. But this is a good low-cost option. The audio on it is good. It's good and loud. And it sounds pretty good. I haven't really heard much Yaesu Fusion, but if I had to choose between audio from D-Star or audio from DMR, DMR wins hands down. Of course, audio, like analog audio, is even better in my opinion, but you know what they say about opinions. They're like other things that everyone has one of. So anyway, that's my review. If you have any questions or if I can be of any assistance at all, absolutely get in touch. KB5ELV@ARRL.net, buddy@brannon.name. Twitter is bbrannon. I'm on Facebook too. But if you message me on Facebook, tell me who you are, because I get friend requests from people that I have no clue who they are, and they don't say anything, so they don't get friended. But anyway, happy to help any way I can, and enjoy your RT8s and MD390s.